Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Let's look at the scripture. If you turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. And this is going to be familiar, maybe to many of you. But I want to share something with you out of this account, out of this experience and that Jesus had that we get to read about. This is not just a story or just a parable that he draws meanings out of. This is an account he has with a person. And so in chapter 19 of Matthew, if you go to verse 16, it says, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked this question of him. He said, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?'" And Jesus does a little redirection here, but doesn't leave the topic entirely. He says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good, and if you want to enter life, obey the commandments." And Jesus is referring to God as Father. "Which ones or which commandments?" the man replies. And Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false witness. Honor your father, honor your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." The rich young ruler replies, "All these I have kept," the young man or this rich young ruler says. "What do I still lack?" The man was feeling pretty good about his life. As he's talking with Jesus, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And you're telling me to obey these laws and all of that?" And the young man says back to him, "I've kept these. Is there anything I lack?" And Jesus, his answer is, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. We can stop reading there for now. You can read the rest of that account, and it talks about, and you can read it, and it talks about this young man, and you heard the dialogue, and why he went away sad, and then his disciples have conversation with Jesus. But what I want us to look at is just a real simple insight into something this morning. And we know in this room, according to the scripture, that we don't inherit eternal life by doing good things. Because no matter how many good things we do, we don't deserve heaven. Because the fact of the matter is, we have all committed sin somewhere. And a bunch of good things does not dissolve the sin that we've committed. It's not like it goes on a scale. And what is there more of? We can do all the good things, but it does not mask the fact, even though it becomes a really good resume, even though it can become a really good-looking life, the fact of the matter is we still have sinned. We've been born into sin. And if you're here and you're saying, "I've never sinned," I want you to know that I don't say this, but the Bible says, "He who says he has no sin, the truth is not in him or her, and he's a liar." So I save us time this morning by having you raise your hand who sinned, because we'd all have to raise our hand. And some of us both. Just the way it is. And we don't inherit eternal life by doing good things. We inherit eternal life by putting faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "It is by grace you are saved through faith in Jesus. And because of this faith in him, we are then saved, we're forgiven." And then the result of that faith is not only eternal life, but the other result in day-to-day living is because of this faith, we now live different and we don't continue to live in sin. Okay? And so we do good things not to gain heaven, we do good things because our faith in Jesus Christ compels us to do what's right, reminds us to do what's right, calls us to do what's right. And yes, we still mess it up, and I'm so glad we can continue to run to him, right? That's good news. So that's a reminder, but it's interesting. He says, you know, what good thing must I do? And, you know, he was obeying the commandments. And then Jesus touched him where his heart was, where his treasure was, what was most important to him, something that he couldn't relinquish or let go of. And for him, it was that he had great wealth. It's what kept him from being perfect or from being great. For you, it might not be wealth. It might be something else. Say, I can obey these things, and I can do these things, and I've got these things mastered, and you know what? I'm pretty good. I want you to hear this. Do you know what the enemy of perfection is, or the enemy of being great is? I can tell you what the enemy of greatness is. The enemy of being great is good. We settle for good all the time. We settle for good enough. Have faith in the Lord Jesus. I obey most of the commands. I don't disobey any of the big ones. And, you know, I give money to the Lord and volunteer a little bit. And all of these things are good. They're good. But is that what this is about? I mean, are we asking the questions, why should we excel or do great or be great? And I'm not talking about a pride and an arrogance greatness. I'm talking about moving beyond that which is good. The enemy of greatness has always been good because we settle into good. We settle into it. You know how this works. You know how habits form. And I mean good habits and bad habits. It's a similar road. It's a similar principle. We just start out doing something. And you know what? Seems good. Nobody seems to complain much about it. And we grow comfortable with it. And so we settle into and solidify and establish life that's good. That's what this rich young ruler was doing. Jesus, tell me how to inherit eternal life. This young man was not ignorant. He knew the commandments. He's there to justify himself. He's there to, you know, honor the teacher and call him good and gets an opportunity to read his resume of obedience. But there's something that kept him from greatness or excelling or going further in his faith. There's something he couldn't relinquish. And you and I, we live in a, I mean, there's a lot of cultures, and humanity itself does this, but we live in a culture where, you know what? Good is good enough. Good has always been the enemy of great. Listen, I know about good. Because I grew up, and my dad's here this morning. He's been a blessing to me all my life. And I've done a lot of sports over the years. And you've heard me talk about it periodically. You know what? I'll just tell you. I'm a jack of all trades. I can do sports. And you know what? I mean, I'm older now, and I don't move the same, and I certainly don't heal the same. But I was just kind of good at a whole bunch of stuff. But I was never great at anything. I was good at a bunch of stuff. I practiced, and I played, and I enjoyed it. But you know, when it comes to faith and following Christ, it's comfortable to be good. And sometimes what holds us from being great is not just being comfortable with good and looking at it, and sometimes we compare with other people what we perceive them to be or where we perceive them to be at, which our perceptions are not always true. not always accurate. And so we're gauging ourselves. And we seem like, hey, we're pretty good. But I wonder if we could ask Jesus, say, Jesus, what would it take? What else is there that would move me from living this fairly obedient life to really surrendering over the things in my heart? What would take me from good faith to great faith? And I wonder if I would, I wonder if you would, I wonder if we would walk away sad because Jesus said, if you want to be great or you want to be perfect or you want your faith to ever increase, then you know what? Here's something that you can do. Here's something you need to pay some attention to. And I wonder if I would walk away sad because I couldn't surrender it. Because let's face it, when we're down and out or starting out or we're pioneering something or we're poor and we don't have nothing, you know what? We're willing to risk it all to try to gain something. But when we hit a level of good and security, what happens? We want to wave goodbye to any type of risk. We'll just kind of stay right here. This is good enough. And we do the same thing in our faith and in our walk with the Lord. The mentality begins to carry over. And it begins to bleed into areas of our life. And I want you to know that good has always been the enemy of great. And one of the reasons we don't want to move from goodness is not just comfort and we've been established. But if I move from here, I leave good behind. And will I ever journey and excel in my faith to great faith? To effective faith. The kind of faith that attains the blessing that we seek God for and He answers. That kind of faith. The Elijah faith. I want to stir the pot a little bit. I want the Holy Spirit to stir the pot, not just in you, in me. What is Jesus saying to me? This rich young ruler. This rich young ruler. What is he saying that maybe we need to change to move and continue to grow in our faith from where we're at? Because the chances are you're probably in a pretty good place in faith. Doesn't mean everything's perfect or everything's together. But, you know, you look and sometimes it's like, you know, pretty good. Good. Good enough. I obey the big commandments. I go to church and, you know, we start to bring out our list. What about the phrases in Scripture that talk about run the race that is marked for you? This isn't like I've run pretty good so far, not bad, making decent time, doing okay. I can just kind of maintain here and kind of coast out. What about the phrases that talk about ever increasing faith? The very explicit phrase that talks about faith continues to grow and faith continues to develop and faith continues to take on impossibility and faith still looks and stands before a mountain that it sees and continues to tell it to move into a sea. A faith that's challenged. A faith that is cultivated. A faith that has, you know, nicks and gouges from being used. From being used on the battlefield of life. We want to excel and we want to have great faith. But I will tell you this. The biggest enemy to great faith or the great Christian walk, it is the good Christian walk. We will hit autopilot so quick. We will stop where we are. We will stall. And everything will continue to just look good. And we just kind of coast it out to the end. The disciples at the end of this account say to him, what about those of us who have left everything and everybody to follow you? And Jesus' reply is, everything will be given to you many times more. Not only in eternity, but in this age. You will be blessed. God keeps the account. God keeps the ledger. Leaving goodness is not leaving stability to go on to greatness. The stability is not the goodness. The stability has always been God.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.